Good morning. We welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're so glad that you join us each week, and we thank you for listening. This morning, we want to consider the well-known religious phrase or slogan, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. This is one of the most popular religious slogans today, and we want to examine that in light of Scripture. Of course, accepting Jesus as our personal Savior is biblical, and it is a scriptural idea. But how do we accept Jesus as our personal Savior? What is involved in doing that? We certainly need to accept Jesus. And the Scripture teaches that He is the Savior of the world, and He is our own personal Savior. So all of these things about accepting Jesus as our personal Savior, in one sense, is a very biblical and scriptural idea. But how do we go about doing that? Some say that we do that by praying the sinner's prayer, when in fact there's nothing in the Word of God about doing that. No one was ever told to pray a certain prayer, and when he finished, he would be saved. There's nothing in Scripture about that, yet that is all over the religious world. Others say that we accept Jesus as our personal Savior by faith only. And at the moment we accept Jesus, at that very moment, He saves us. And yet, the Scripture teaches that we are not justified by faith alone. James chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. It is an obedient faith that works, not faith alone. And so, how do we accept Jesus as our personal Savior? We need to do that, friends. But how do we do that? What does the Bible say about that? So that we can do that in a way that truly saves us in the sight of God. Well, we're going to study this morning from the Word of God on how that we can do that. And we're going to find out that we need to hear Jesus. We need to hear His words. We need to believe that He's the Son of God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. We need to be baptized for the remission of our sins, and we need to live faithfully thereafter. And we're going to study this morning how that each one of those steps or each one of those conditions is related to accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. Let's begin with hearing the New Testament teaching or hearing the Word of God. Hearing Jesus is a part of salvation. We must hear His words. When we hear Jesus, we accept Jesus' teaching. Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and following, that we must hear His words and do them. Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Luke 6:46. We must hear the words of Jesus. And when we do that, that's a part of accepting Jesus. If we want Him to be our personal Savior, we have to hear His words. We have to read and study and hear the New Testament and hear those words of Jesus. When we accept Jesus' words, we accept Him as our personal Savior, and we reject the words of men. We're not going to listen to what man says. Even a preacher, a pastor, a reverend, or a favorite religious author, we're going to just simply open up our New Testaments and we're going to listen to Jesus. When Jesus was transfigured on the top of the mountain in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, God comes from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him." And so we have to listen to Jesus. God has spoken to mankind in different ways throughout time, but at the end of these days, He has spoken to us in His Son, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So we must hear the words of Jesus. And we find that very thing. When Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, we find that it came time for him to preach the gospel to Cornelius. And we find that they heard the word. Peter came to preach to these Jews about Jesus Christ, and to hear words from Peter. Acts chapter 10 and verse 22. And in Acts chapter 11, when Peter is looking back at this account, he talks about how that he presented words whereby thou shalt be saved. The words of Jesus. So first of all, we must hear the words of Jesus, and that is a part of accepting him as our personal Savior. In the second place, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must believe him and who he is. There are a number of passages that tell us that we must believe. Paul told the jailer to believe on the Lord Jesus. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30. The gospel is the power of salvation to all who believe. Romans 1 verse 16. With the heart we believe. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And with the mouth we confess. And so we must believe what is written in the scripture about Jesus and who Jesus is. And when we believe Jesus, we accept Jesus' claims of deity. In other words, he was more than just a man. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 24, except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And when we believe, we can have life in his name. John chapter 20, verses 29 through 31. And so we must believe Jesus. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We'll talk about baptism in just a minute, but notice the idea of believing Jesus. We accept Jesus' claims and we reject any false claims about him by man. People say all kinds of things about Jesus that are wrong. There are different religions that say wrong things about Jesus. Some believe that he was a created being. Others believe that he is the same as God the Father and the Holy Spirit. They're all the same being, just with different names. Some believe that he was just a Palestinian Jew and a prophet, nothing more than that. He certainly was not the divine Son of God. And so people have all kinds of beliefs about Jesus, but we must believe what is written in the scripture about him. There were some, 1 John 4, verses 1 through 3, some were saying that Jesus did not come in the flesh and other false errors. And John says there are many false prophets who have gone off into the world and they're teaching false things about Jesus. So we must believe what Jesus said about himself, not what others say about him. And that's a part of accepting him as our personal Savior. And then we must be willing to repent of our sins. We must be willing to turn our back on sin. And when we repent of sin, we turn toward Jesus and we want to obey him and we want to turn away from a life of sin. The apostles were to preach the gospel beginning in Jerusalem, and Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 47, that repentance would be preached beginning in Jerusalem. And that's what we find recorded in Acts chapter 2, at the end of Peter's sermon there, when the people said, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of your sins. And then later in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent. And turn, that seasons of refreshing may come. And so repentance is very important. And the apostles preached repentance. And in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, God commands all men everywhere that they should repent. A lot of people don't want to do that because it means turning our back on sin, wanting to get rid of the sin that is in our life. We're not going to continue living in that sin. And so when we repent, we accept Jesus' judgment of sinful mankind. Jesus himself said in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And so Jesus taught the importance of turning our back on sin and the importance of repenting of our sin. And Jesus often would eat with sinners and encourage them to get out of their sinful ways and their sinful life. And Jesus said that there is joy in heaven when one sinner repents. Luke chapter 15, verse 7, and again in verse 10. Presence, joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so when we repent, we accept Jesus' teaching about sin and how wrong it is, and we want to get rid of that in our life. And we're willing to come to Jesus, and even though that means turning our back on sin, a lot of people don't want to do that. In Luke chapter 3 and verse 19, John writes, "And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world," speaking of Jesus and His truth, "and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his works may be made manifest, that they have been wrought in God." And so, there are a lot of people who don't want to come to the light of Jesus' truth. They would rather live in darkness. Men loved the darkness rather than the light, John says. And so they don't want to turn their back on sin. They want to continue living in that. But they need to repent and turn back. And in the letters to the seven churches of Asia, Jesus himself often said, repent, repent, turn away from that sin that is in your life. So whether it's in someone out in the world or whether it's Christians who have sin in their life, we find repentance taught all throughout the New Testament teaching. And so we must turn our back on sin. This is a part of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. You see, it's more than just faith only. It's more than just a thought that we have in our mind about accepting Jesus. We have to take some steps in order to hear Him, believe in Him, and turn our back on sin. But there's something else that we must do, and that is we must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, the eunuch said, "Here is water, what hindereth me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And so he confessed that Jesus was the Christ, and Philip had been preaching to him about Jesus from Isaiah chapter 53. Paul writes in Romans 10 and verse 9, "Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we hear that a lot about calling on the name of the Lord. And we find, if you keep it in context, what that is hearing the gospel, believing that, confessing that with our mouth. Paul goes on to talk about how can we believe unless we have heard from the preaching and from a preacher. And so if you keep these phrases in context, it's not praying the sinner's prayer. Calling on the name of the Lord is hearing the gospel preaching and responding by obeying and doing these things that we're talking about this morning. And when we do that, we call upon the name of the Lord in our obedience to the gospel truth. And so a part of that is confessing that Jesus with our mouth, confessing that God raised him from the dead and those other things about him. And so confession is important. When we confess, we accept Jesus' position as Lord and Master, and we pledge our allegiance to him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 that we must confess him before men. If we do not, he will not confess us before his Father who is in heaven. So we accept Jesus' position as Lord and Savior, and we reject what man says about him. We're simply going to follow what the Scripture says about him. And so are we willing to make that good confession? Some people aren't. In John chapter 9 and verse 22, some would not confess Jesus. John chapter 12 and verse 42, the Pharisees would not confess Jesus. They didn't want to identify with Him. They didn't want to be on His side. They didn't want to tell others that they believe in Him. They were scared of the multitude, scared of losing their friends and family and being cast out of the synagogue. But we must not be afraid. We must be willing to confess Jesus before others. That is extremely important. And it's a part of accepting Him as our personal Savior. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23, He that confesseth the Son hath the Father. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that confesseth the Son hath the Father also. And so we must be willing to confess Jesus. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abideth in him, and he in God. And so that is extremely important. And so many people today will deny that they want to have anything to do with Jesus because they're afraid of the crowds and what other people will say and what their friends will say. But we must be willing to do that. And then we must be willing to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Being baptized into Jesus or into His death, as we're going to see in just a minute, is a part of the gospel plan of salvation. It's a part of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. Peter told those on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. I find it interesting that the scripture connects baptism with other things, such as belief and repentance. And yet we find in the religious world today that different denominational teachings try to separate baptism from those things that must be done in order to be saved. They say that baptism is not necessary. You don't have to do that. And yet we don't find that in the scripture. Ananias told Paul to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5, you must be born of water and spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And being born of water is baptism. And so it's something that must be done. It's not optional. And so when we're baptized into the death of Christ. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It's not something in the water that saves, but baptism, being baptized, is what puts us in contact with Jesus' death, spiritually speaking. And so Paul said in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, or are you ignorant? All we who were baptized into Christ, Jesus, were baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might also walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so it's a likeness. What is that likeness? Well, Jesus died on the cross. We die to our sins. Jesus was buried in a tomb. We're buried in the waters of baptism. He was raised on the third day, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. And so that likeness is parallel between the two. And that's what we must do in order to have remission of sins. We must be baptized into his death. And so that's a part of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. We're going to accept what Jesus said about baptism and do that very thing. And then we need to be living faithfully thereafter. We need to be living a faithful life as a Christian. If we sin, that doesn't mean we'll never sin again. If we sin, we repent of that sin. We pray for forgiveness. We confess that sin. James chapter 5, verse 16. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. We confess our sins, and he's faithful to forgive us. We pray in Acts chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. Peter told Simon the sorcerer what to do to be forgiven of his sin after he was baptized into Christ, and that involved prayer. And so we can be forgiven of any sin, but we need to live faithfully in the body or church of Christ, and this is a part of salvation. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, as members of the church, we need to live without spot, without blemish in our life. And there are some people who say, well, it doesn't really matter how you live. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Of course, the Scripture doesn't teach that. The Scripture teaches the possibility of falling away. And we need to be pure in our lives. Christ is the head of the church, and we need to accept Jesus' headship over His church, and we need to live pure in His body. And so, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, when Jesus comes again, He's going to present the church to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Those who are members of the church who are holy and without blemish, without spot and wrinkle, those are the ones who are going to be a part of Jesus' church and body for all eternity. And so we need to live faithfully. When we're baptized into the body of Christ, we're baptized into His death, and we accept Jesus' headship over the body, and we submit to Him. As a body submits to a head, so we submit to Christ. Jesus said that He would build His church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, upon this rock I will build My church. It belongs to Him. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, He shed His blood for the church. And so it belongs to Him. It is a church of Christ, a church belonging to Christ. And members of His body need to submit to Him and live the way He wants us to live. And so the New Testament, there are many epistles, letters of Paul, for example, written to Christians and churches on how to live. And we accept Jesus' headship, and we accept His authority. We don't go by any authority of man. He is the head of the body, which is His church. Ephesians 1, 22 through 23. And we accept that lordship. We accept that He's head over the body, and we're going to follow His Word and His teaching. And He wants us to live faithfully. Well, let's go back and look at those things that we must do then in order to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We need to hear the gospel. And when we hear the gospel, we're going to be victorious over any kind of ignorance or man-made teaching. We're just simply going to hear the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John chapter 8 and verse 32. We come to hear the truth. And when we read our Bibles, we read the truth, and it dispels any kind of ignorance or man-made teaching. We accept Jesus as our personal Savior not only by hearing Him, but believing upon Him. We accept His claims for who He really was, the divine Son of God. We're not going to believe anything man has said about Him, but just simply believe what the Scripture teaches. And then we're going to repent of our sins. We're going to turn our back on those sins. We're not going to do those things anymore. And so, as popular as it is to live in a sinful world, and a lot of people around us are engaged in sinful kinds of things, we're going to stop that. The word repent literally means to turn. So we're going to make a turn in our life away from sin and toward God and serving His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's a part of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. And then we must confess that He is the Christ, the Son of God. We're not going to deny Him. We're not going to act like He doesn't exist. We're not going to act like we don't know Him or we don't want to be a part of His life. We're going to confess Him before others so that we can be confessed before our Father who is in heaven. We're not going to deny Him. That's a part of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. And then we're going to be baptized into Christ. When we repent, that's a victory over sin and over the idea of just wanting to remain in sin. It's a victory over immorality. It's a victory over procrastination. We're not going to put it off anymore. We're going to repent and stop. Confession is a victory over denial. And it's a victory over someone who just doesn't want to say anything about Jesus. We're going to open up our mouths and we're going to confess Him. In baptism, that is a victory over the sin in our life because it's washed away. And so we need to think about the importance of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior. Absolutely. But how do we do that? We do it by hearing Him, believing Him, repenting of our sins, confessing that He is the Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins, and living faithfully as much as we can in our life. And if a sin comes back, we confess that, we repent of that, we pray for forgiveness, and we get back to living faithfully to God. Friends, do you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior? There are a lot of people in this community, in this world, that have just, they've just got other things going on in their life, and they don't have time for Jesus. If we want Jesus to confess us in the judgment day, and we want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in the judgment day, we need to give Jesus our life now. So many times as I'm coming to church services on Sunday, we're coming to worship the Lord, I find and see so many other people doing things that have nothing to do with religion, the Bible, worshiping. They're off. Maybe some are headed to the beach and to the lake, and the weather has warmed up. We've got nicer weather, and they're going to play golf and doing things around the yard. There are a lot of people who just are not interested in spiritual things, and that is a shame. Don't be like that. We have asked for Bible studies on this program, and we've offered Bible studies. We've published our phone number and our website, and with many, there's absolutely just no response. They're not interested in Bible things or spiritual things, and that's going to be a problem in the judgment day. All of a sudden, we're going to want Jesus to be interested in us, and we will hear the foolish, wicked and foolish and slothful servant, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you who work iniquity." We're not going to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So we need to put Jesus in our lives now. Even when Jesus was on the earth, we find statements in the Gospels where people just simply walked away. In John chapter 6 and verse 66, people walked away. They just didn't want Jesus. They didn't want to listen to what he said. They didn't have time for Jesus. And in Mark chapter 10, when Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler and trying to help him, when Jesus got done, the rich young ruler just walked away sorrowful. He didn't want to do what Jesus said. You know, people don't have time for Jesus, and they're going to want time for him in the judgment day, but it's going to be too late. Friends, let us help you make your life right with God. You need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, absolutely. But you need to do it on his terms and the way he says it. Hearing the gospel, that is accepting Jesus' teaching. Believing, that is accepting Jesus' claims. Repenting of your sin, that is accepting Jesus' judgment about sin. Confessing Jesus, that is accepting his position as Lord and Savior. Being baptized, that is accepting Jesus' death. And living faithfully, that is accepting Jesus' headship over the church. And if we can encourage you to do those things, if we can help you to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, we want to do that. I'm not going to say, pray the sinner's prayer. That is not in Scripture. I'm not going to say, just accept him into your heart by faith alone. That's not in Scripture. I've studied, and we've studied together and looked together this morning at what the Scripture says you must do. And if we can help you do those things, the hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, if we can help you do those things, please contact us, and we can get together and study more. We can look at God's Word more, and we can help you to be baptized into Christ, and so that you can accept Jesus the way he wants you to accept him. Thank you for listening this morning to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, and have a good day.